but on his Bible, they're pretty perfect. Yes. No, I'm good. I got these cheater spectacles. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And the good Lord says, the book says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. I'll say Philetus. And that's verses 15 through 17. Now we're going to get the message from the pastor. You're kidding. Oh, my goodness. It's right? You like that? It's underlined and everything. He's got like the whole two pages underlined. So let me try again. Chapter 3. Yep, I need for 15, 17. There we go. Read off the TV. Sorry about that. Let's see. Chapter 3, 15, 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That is chapter 3, 15 through 17. That's better, huh? But it said it's all scripture is given by inspiration. So I wrote both. Just kidding. I'm teasing. Anyway.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that as we go through this message that we might get something out of it. We'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One thing about my Bible, this is my study Bible, and I have everything underlined. I have lines going to different verses. I have stuff written in the fly leaf of it. I have, in fact, if you go through it, you'll see messages outlined on the bottom of it, along the sides of it, and so it's kind of hard to use my Bible to take and read scripture out of. Usually I have my other Bible, and that's at home, and so I'm going to bring that one over probably tomorrow. But anyway, one of the announcements I got is starting next Sunday morning, we're going to start our fall program for Sunday school, and I just got word that Digger Dan's going to be here, and Harry the Hobo, he's over in Texas right now. He got caught in that hurricane, and I said to him, I said, I suppose you got a bath, huh? He goes, yeah, he says, the only one I took all year, but he says, I got a good one. I said, I bet you did, and so he's heading this way on a freighter. He's hoping to make it, and then I've got Dangerous Dave, he's going to be here. He'll be here the Sunday of Western Sunday. Dangerous Dave will be here for that. And so we've got, and Chico, he's thinking about coming up from Mexico, but he doesn't know for sure yet. He said he has to wait and see what happens down there. But I guarantee you're going to enjoy Sunday school the next 4 weeks. Guarantee it. You need to be here and invite people to come. And we're going to be running the van. We're going to have a van route. We've got about 6 kids that will be coming with us, or 8 kids on the van. And so we're going to take and pack that van out, and we're going to take and have really good Sunday school starting next Sunday morning. I realize it's Labor Day, but that's okay. Come anyway, and you're going to enjoy it. Well, the title of this morning's message is Lessons from Paul. And before we get started, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I pray now that you be with us, guide us, and direct us, I pray. Father, there's a lot of things going around the United States right now, and I just can't pray enough for the churches over in California. I pray for North Valley Baptist Church today. I know they're going to have services again, and I know they're going to get fined again today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would somehow, some way intervene here, that they can continue on. I pray for Golden State. I pray also for West Coast Baptist Bible College. I pray for Brother Chapel and the church there, and pray for Brother Goddard and Don Wildemar. Father, I pray for all these preachers. They preach the gospel message, and they're not afraid to proclaim it. And I just pray, Lord, that you continue to guide and direct them today. We just pray now that you'll help us get something out of this lesson or this message today that we can use for your own honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, as I was reading the book of 2 Timothy the other day, I couldn't help but notice some things which Paul told young Timothy. You know, I've read through my Bible once already this year. I'm starting the second time through. But there are some things in here that I saw for the first time. And I've read through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and lots. And so every time you read your Bible, you're going to find something different that you didn't see the first time. But I want to look this morning for a little bit at what Paul wanted young Timothy to learn and be able to use, not only in his own life, but those that he came in contact with. This is his second letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy, when he wrote that, he pretty much told him how a church needs to operate and what has to happen in a church. You know, who should be the preachers, who should be the deacons, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I believe each of us can use this letter to Timothy in our own personal life. And I guarantee we're going to get some concepts out of here that we can use in our own life. First thing is this. We need to study God's word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul's telling Timothy that he is to study God's word. You know, it's one thing to sit down and say, okay, I got to read 4 pages in the Bible today for my Bible reading. Boom, we read it. But that's not studying God's word. When we study God's word, we need to take and sit down and we need to read scripture and we need to find out what that's talking about. And so Paul is telling Timothy, he says, you need to study the word of God so you know what God's word says. But let's look at the following verses for just a minute. Let's go to verse 16. It says, "But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more unrighteousness. And their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Phidias." Now, what we need to realize is this, is that the word is going to shun those who don't know it. What? I know I am. I was in chapter 2. He had the wrong verse. That was my fault because I forgot to give it to him. Sorry, Dana. Anyway, but Paul is telling Timothy, if you study, you'll be able to stay away from wicked people. If you study God's word, that your life is going to be fashioned after Christ. After all, what is our life? Whoop, maybe I better turn it on, huh? I walked away from that microphone. I'm going, boy, it's getting awful quiet in here. There we go. What is our life supposed to be fashioned after? What are we supposed to fashion our life after? Christ. We are to be what? Christ-like. How are you supposed to be Christ-like? You know, if you were here Wednesday night and heard about the Church of Laodicea, that's exactly what was happening in the Church of Laodicea. They had people in the church who weren't saved. They were living their lives like everybody else, drinking the same beer, drinking the same wine, drinking the same everything else everybody else was, smoking the same dope as everybody else. They were living their lives just like everybody else. And they were in the church, playing church, but they weren't saved. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, hey, if you don't stay in the Word of God, if you don't study God's Word, I guarantee that you are just going to be nothing but a babbler. People are going to say, well, what does the Word of God say? Well, I don't know. Listen, we need to know what God's Word is. You know, the Bible says what? Hide God's Word in our heart that we might not what? Sin against Him. You know, this may shock you, but there are people who will try to keep us from doing what God has commanded us to do. Did you know that? There are people who are going to try to keep us from doing what God's Word says. Or they're going to try to lead us down the pathway that we should not go down. You know, we're to study and we're to keep our minds sharp to know exactly what the difference is between right and wrong. Thou shalt not. Whoa, how much better can you get it than that? You know, I have many times told you to know what you believe, why you believe it, and back it up by God's Word. If you don't know what you believe, how can you call yourself a Christian? Oh, no, preacher, what did you just say? How can you believe something you don't believe in? Right? Am I right? What we need to realize is we need to study God's Word, know what we believe, and back it up by God's Word. I used this illustration in Sunday school this morning. Thursday, there was a man in my house. He was building the wall for me. We got to talking after a while, and I said to him, I said, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? He said, I'll go straight to hell. I said, is that where you want to spend eternity? He goes, no. But I can't go to heaven. I said, why not? He showed me his wrist. There was a scar right here. He said, when I was in prison, I cut myself, and in my blood, I signed a contract that I would never believe in God. I said, was it God's contract? He said, no. I said, was it man's contract? He goes, yeah. I said, guess what? It doesn't mean squat. I said, what were you in prison for? He says, I murdered a guy. I go, okay, well, I said, well, I said, do you think God can forgive that sin? He said, I don't know. I said, well, there's a man in the Bible named Daniel, or David, and David committed murder. David committed adultery. David was a liar. David was a deceiver. I said, and yet the Bible says that David had a heart after God. And God forgave him. Do you think maybe God can forgive you? He looked at me and goes, man, he said, I've never heard that before. He said, yeah, I think so. Took him through the plan of salvation. He prayed and he got saved. I looked at him and I said, now, if I were to ask you the same question, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? He looked at me and he says, heaven. I got Jesus in my heart. Now listen, if I would not have studied the Word of God, known what the Word of God said, how would I have ever led him to the Lord? That's what all of us need. We need to study God's Word. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. He says, read the Word of God. Study it. Know what it says. If you don't, you're a babbler. Sold the bargain. You know what I mean? You know, Paul goes on telling Timothy in verse 22 is to study so he can flee the lusts that he is going to have. Let's take a look at verse 22 real quick. Chapter 2, verse 22, Dana. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. Whoa. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, you may say, well, it doesn't say anything about the things I do. Oh, yes, it does. You know, young people dream or lust after a lot of things in life that they think are going to make them happy, but guess what? They don't. You know, I've counseled many teenagers over my time. And they said, well, I'm going to make a lot of money someday, so I don't have to worry about anything. Wrong. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that we need to study God's word. Second thing is this, we need to be teachers of the word of God. We need to be teachers of the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others. If you don't have that verse underlined, you need to underline that in your Bible. And then put right alongside in the margin, teach people. Teach people. Now, what we need to realize is this, is Paul is telling Timothy, the things you have heard of me, teach to other people. The things that are in the Bible, we need to, number one, study to find out what they are. Second, we need to be ready to teach them to other people. You know, I praise the Lord for Serena and Susan doing junior church. I mean, every week they got a Bible story for those kids in junior church. You know, listen, what are they doing? They're teaching the Word of God. They're teaching the things that they have learned by studying God's Word. You know, we need to be ready to teach. You know, Paul's telling Timothy, he says, you need to teach the things that you've heard about. We need to be able to reproduce others to reproduce others. You know, that's like me. Reproducing myself through Kevin so that he can reproduce myself through him, through someone else. You know, what we need to do is we need to reproduce what God has put in us. You know, Brother Hiles one time said this, I wish that I could reproduce myself over and over and over and over again. And what he was saying is, I wish I could reproduce myself in the way I have been soul winning with everybody that I can possibly teach. And that's what we need. We need to be able to reproduce ourselves into other people to reproduce themselves into other people. Now, I teach Sunday school. Why do I teach Sunday school? Because I want to teach somebody else how to teach Sunday school. Then they can take a Sunday school class and they can teach Sunday school. That's what it's all about. You know, I'm going to brag on my grandkids. I got three grandgirls over in Georgia. And Marissa is 13. And this is the first year that she's been able to work on a bus route without mom and dad. And every Saturday, Scott takes her to the church, and they get picked up. They go out on the bus route visiting all the bus kids. She loves getting kids on the bus. Sunday morning, there she is, up just leading, singing just like everybody else. She came up to Denise yesterday and said, Mom, we got to go to Walmart. She goes, what for? She said, well, I got to buy some candy for the kids on the bus tomorrow. She's all excited about their bus route. Praise the Lord. Where'd she get that from? I'll tell you where she got it from. She got it from Mama and Daddy. All the time those kids have been raised, Denise and Scott have been on a bus route. And now she's old enough to be there by herself, and she is loving it. She's teaching other kids. But how did she learn how to do that? She was taught by someone else. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. You need to teach others so that they can teach others. But, you know, what should we be taught? Well, we should be taught doctrines, the things of the Bible, that what teaches us to do on our day-by-day lives, what God wants us to realize that we need to know about His Word. We need to teach people salvation. Teach them how to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them how to live their lives in a godly manner. Teach them that men are to be men and ladies are to be ladies. That's another thing my grandgirls are having problems with. I was telling Nancy the other day, they're having a real problem with this. Now, my son-in-law and my daughter have always taught them, you know, to be, you know, if there's something that needs to be done, do it. You know what I mean? Dishes need to be done, do them. The lawn needs to be mowed, do it. Well, last Sunday, there was a storm that went through, and there was limbs down at the church, all over, limbs down from trees. So the boys were out there cleaning up the limbs. So here comes Marissa and Rebecca. They went out there with their dresses on and for church, and they're helping clean up the limbs. All of a sudden, two boys walked over, and they said, "You guys need to come with us." And Marissa says, "What?" He looked at him, and he said this, "Cleaning these up is not for ladies. This is men's work." He says, "You need to go sit down." Marissa says, "I can do it just as well as you can." He goes, "Yeah, I realize that. But," he says, "our dad taught us that ladies are to be taught or treated a certain way. And that's what we're going to do." I mean, they've never had that ever happen before. And they didn't know how to act. Where'd those boys learn that from? Their daddy. Yeah, listen, we need to take and teach our kids how to act, how to live. But you know, here we see Paul telling Timothy, number one, he needs to teach, or number one, he needs to study. Number two, he needs to teach. Why did he want him to have God's word grounded so much in his life? When we get to chapter 3, which we're going to do right now, you're going to see a change of pace in what Paul is writing about. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." If you don't have that underline it. Put alongside it, "last days." This goes right along with a Revelation study of what we talked about Wednesday night. If you weren't here Wednesday night, and if you didn't hear Wednesday night's message, you need to go to the website and watch it. Now, the Church of Laodicea. Now, Paul starts out with the wording, "This know also." What he's telling Timothy is this. Now, I told you a lot of things in chapter 1, and I told you a lot of things in chapter 2, but this you need to know also. There's more to the story. After all, yeah, we're supposed to study, we're supposed to teach, we're supposed to take and run the church the way it should be run. We, you know, that stuff's all there. But, there's that word again. But there's more to the story than that. There's more that you need to know. You know, I need for you to listen to what I have to say very carefully, he says. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Notice here It did not say that it was going to be that day. He says in the what? Last days. In the last days. Or in the end times. He does not say the times might come. Look what it says. In the last days, times shall come. Perilous times shall. It's not a might. It's not a maybe. It's going to happen. That's what he's telling him. You know, it's interesting reading the old commentaries of the 1800s and 1900s and what they had to say about this verse. And this is what they said. They said, you know what? We're in that time period right now. That's what they said. We're in that time period right now. Things can't get any worse than what they are. After all, if you go to Billy Sunday and you listen to some of his messages and stuff that he wrote way back during the Prohibition and things like that, you'll see that he thought that it could not get any worse than what it was right now with a bunch of drunken fools walking up and down the streets. But if they lived today, what would they think? You know, I want you to understand something. We're living in the time period that Paul's talking about. I said it Wednesday night, and I'm going to say it again today. I do not believe we are living in the last day. I don't believe that we're living in the last day. I don't believe that we're living in the last hour of the last day. I do not believe we're living in the last minute of the last day. I believe we're living in the last second. What I mean by that is this. Christ is going to come back soon. Very soon. We're living in perilous times right now. We're living in with things that are going on in our country, just like Paul was telling Timothy was going to happen. Look what Paul says in verses 2 through 5. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Whoa, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Whoa. Lovers of themselves. People of today are so self-centered, they did not have time for God. There's a lot of people who feel the world revolves around them. And if they have something wrong, everybody's the same way. They feel that if they died, the world would stop right there. Covetous. How many people do you know who want what everybody else has? Oh, Holcomb's just bought a new car. I got to get a new car. Isn't that right, Brother Holcomb? Got to have what the Joneses have. Boasters. Those are the people who feel they can do everything better than everybody else. I can do this so well, nobody can take and do it better than I can. Proud. You know, these are the arrogant people who feel that they can do anything and never do anything wrong. You know, they go through life thinking, I'm the best. Blasphemers. Someone who speaks of God in an irreverent manner. Someone who uses God's name in vain all the time. You know, I'll tell you what, I hate talking to people in on the street and stuff. I do. Because of the language they use. You know, we have got so far away from godly language, it's unbelievable. And everybody thinks, oh, it's okay. Everybody uses it. Disobedient to parents. You know, we don't have in our society today children who reverent their parents. If we did, we wouldn't have the riots and the looting and everything going on that we do in our cities today, I guarantee it. Because they'd be afraid to go home of what mom and dad would do to them. I know, I know, believe me, I know. I had it happen back in the 1960s. I don't know if you remember the Vietnam riots. Madison, Wisconsin was one of the hotbeds of those riots. There were buildings burned, bombed, people shot and killed. I mean, it was unbelievable. I wanted to see what was going on. So me and two of my friends took off and went to Madison one Saturday night. And we came back home that night. My dad says, where were you? One thing I learned over life, don't lie to dad. Because when he said, where were you, he already knew where I was. Already knew. I said, well, we went to Madison. You went up the square, didn't you? Yeah. You know what's going to happen? I got a whooping. 16 years old, and I got a whooping, man. He said, if I ever catch you doing anything like that again, he said, you're going to get worse. That puts fear of God in me. You know, if we had parents like that now, we wouldn't have disobedient children. Unthankful. You know, I can't remember a time in my past 66 years when I've seen people as unthankful as they are today. You know, for 22 years we've had the food bank. For 22 years we've had people coming to the food bank. The last 4 years we have seen a huge change in the attitude of the people. Unthankfulness. They don't thank you for anything anymore. They feel that you owe them something. You know, we need to realize is that we are in a time period of unthankfulness. People are not thankful for anything anymore. After all, the government owes us. Unholy. You know, we're living in an age of unholiness. People don't want to go to church. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to pray. They don't want to know what God has for their lives. They're unholy. Well, let's just live like everybody else. And we'll be okay. Unholy. Without natural affection. What's natural affection? Doing that which comes naturally to a person. A man marrying a woman, and a woman marrying a man. That's natural. Truce breakers, those who will break treaties, or those who will not keep their promises or vows. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Loving the things of this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Well, let's go to a movie instead of going to church today. Let's go to the lake instead of going to the church today. After all, a preacher does is stand up there, holler and yell and scream and beat his hand. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. People who claim to be saved, they go through the religious motions, may come to church on Sunday morning, may not. May come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, may not. They come into church, they sit there, and they sing, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. They turn around, walk through those doors, and they live like 4-3-7-7 the rest of the week. Paul goes on to say this. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Don't have friendship with them. Don't go to their parties. Don't go out to eat with them. Don't have a close relationship with them. Don't shun them if they come to church. But you don't have to be their good friends and do the things they do. Verses 3 through 7, it says this. For this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to look at very closely at those two verses. These were those who crept into houses. You notice that? Notice that phrase there? These are those that crept into houses. What's Paul talking about here? Coming to your house? Coming to my house? Nope. Coming to the church house. You got to remember, in the time of Paul, they didn't have churches like this. They had house churches. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. He says, we got people that are creeping into our churches who aren't saved. And they're trying to lead the young Christians away, the ones that aren't mature yet, the ones that haven't studied, the ones that haven't been taught right yet. They're going to lead them away. Be careful. Be careful, because it's going to happen, he said. Silly women were the people who weren't growing spiritually. You know, they come to church, but they never grew spiritually. They had the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, blinding them so that they never grew in the truth and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they try to talk the talk while in church, but they couldn't walk the walk once they got out of church. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, if you look at this verse, you would say, that's exactly what's happening today. You know, look at what it's saying. Evil men, seducers, those who do not know God, will get worse and worse. Isn't that what's happening today in our country? Look what's going on in Washington, D.C. Look what's going on in Portland. Look what's going on in San Francisco. Look what's going on in Chicago and Philadelphia and Atlanta. They're running rampant. They're killing people. They're burning everything down. I don't know how much worse it can get. We got churches that can't even open their doors anymore without getting fined. Deceiving, being deceived. I don't know how many of you watched Brother Treiber. I think it was Thursday when he was on there. You talk about a man with a broken heart. It was him. I cried. Cried through the whole thing. I know what he's going through. Been there, done it. Not the same way he's doing it, but it happened here. Listen, the church today is being persecuted more than at any other time in the history of the United States. And we've got to make a stand. And the stand's got to be made now. If it isn't, all of our church doors are going to be shut within the next 4 years. You know, I feel bad for the churches in California. I really do. A lot of them men I know personally. Brother Treiber, Brother Goddard, Brother Chapel. I know all them men. Great men of the Lord. But you know, as I look at what they're going through, and I read what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's exactly what's happening today. Listen, folks, we're in the last days. Just like Paul said, he says, I want you to understand, Timothy, that a time is going to come at the end when all of this is going to happen. It's happening. And too many people are turning a blind eye to it. That's part one. I'm out of time. Part two is going to be tonight. If you want to hear the rest of the story, you need to be here tonight. But I want to end today where I started, or halfway through my message, and that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know, I want to remind everybody that we are in this verse as I speak. We're in this verse. One day, very soon, there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trumpet sound, and we're going to be gone. That's why Wednesday night I said we're not living in the Laodicea time. We're past that. We're ready for chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3 in Revelation. You got to be here for that, too, because I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen there. Where are you today? Are you just playing the Christian game? Are you just saying, well, you know, I come to church, I go through the motions, or are you studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? And are you apt to teach? Are you teaching others to teach others to teach others? The reason Paul used that first was he wanted Timothy to realize he needed to do that before chapter 3, verse 1 came in. We need to be reaching as many as we possibly can right now with the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for this message. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us, I pray. Help us to understand what we need to do. Many times we don't read our Bibles like we should. We don't pray like we should. We don't tell others about you like we should. I just pray, Lord, that we might have a zeal to do this. Maybe there's some watching today. Maybe there's some in this auditorium today that if they were to die right now, they're not 100% sure that they would spend eternity in heaven. Because I'll tell you what, we're living in the last day, the last hour, the last minute, the last second. I just pray, Lord, that you might speak to the hearts of those who are here. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe you're here today and you're saying, preacher, that's where I am. I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, I'd be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that, quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Maybe you're watching today on the internet and you're saying, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I know we're living in the last days. I can see it. But I'm not sure that I'm saved. You need to today. All you need to do is understand that you're a sinner. That's a penalty for your sin. That Jesus paid your penalty on the cross. And you need to ask him to forgive your sins. Just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for my sin. I ask you into my heart today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you too are on your way to heaven. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love. And we just thank you for those who are here. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us to study your word. Help us to be the teachers of the things you have. Guide us and direct us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come to this altar today, the altar's open. If you need to talk to the Lord about helping you to study your word, praying,